Tesla stock dropped more than 3% this morning, the first day of trading since CEO Elon Musk announced Friday that he is not going to take the company private, as he said in that August 7th tweet. He wrote on Friday in a blog post that, given the feedback I've received, it's apparent that most of Tesla's existing shareholders believe we are better off as a public company. And you might add, maybe they are concerned about Elon Musk's stability. Let's take a look with Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us as he does every Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
What a wild month. Elon Musk tweeting, yeah, he's got the footing to buy out shares and go private. He said he didn't like the pressure of the quarterly earnings report and investors who short sell Tesla stock betting against the company. But then there's also a rapper saying he wrote that tweet about going private while on LSD. We're going to take that up. But now he's back to public. Is it just shareholder reaction? Did he not have the money? I mean, what's going on here?
A lot is going on here, as you summarized. Look, Musk said that he wanted to take the company private because being public was a nuisance. He said it had there's wild swings in stock prices, that the quarterly earnings cycle forces the company to focus on short-term profitability over long-term value. But going private isn't like this magic wand that you wave over and just, you know, it just eliminates all the problems at your company. It swaps out one set of challenges for another set of challenges. And most importantly, going private changes the composition of investors. It means relying on competitors like Volkswagen, for example, which reportedly was interested in offering some funding for a private Tesla. It also meant that mutual funds might have to pull some funding because they tend to prefer public companies. So really, it's what happened is Musk, for whatever reason, put out this tweet, this thought into the universe, and it turns out that going private is a much bigger headache than he initially seems to have planned for.
Well, it gets wackier because the rapper Azalea Banks claims that Elon Musk was on LSD when he wrote that original tweet, and she knows because she says she was at his house. In fact, she said it was like being in the movie Get Out, implying that something scary was going on for her as a black woman at this white man's house. And she was there because she's friends with Musk's then-girlfriend Grimes, the Canadian singer. Elon Musk is denying that any drugs were involved. Banks has apologized. But this is wild, and shareholders have to be concerned about kind of what's going on with our CEO.
Well, of course they are. I mean, this is absurd. I feel absurd having to talk about it. I think the important frame here is if you're an investor in an Elon Musk company, one thing you have to be worried about is focus. This guy is brilliant, but he's sending rockets into space with SpaceX. He's digging underground tunnels for transportation with his company called The Boring Company. He's making cars with Tesla. He's looking into neural interfaces with Neuralink. I mean, his mind might be absolutely stunningly penumbral, but it's really spread all over the place. So when you also learn that he's in the middle of a fracas between a rapper and Grimes, who's like a sort of electric, you know, soft rock singer, like, you have to think, wait, what is this guy doing? Where is his focus? His focus needs to be on the company that my money is with. And so I think it doesn't so much go to the wackiness of the individual characters so much to, is this guy so overworked that he can't put in the dedicated focus of the company I have stock in?
Well, the SEC is investigating his initial tweets about going private, you know, and whether or not he was attempting to influence Tesla's stock price. But now we're seeing Tesla stock dropping more than 3% today after he said he'd stay public. Why would that be if that's what shareholders wanted?
Well, I think there's a lot of uncertainty about what the SEC is going to do. The SEC could determine that Musk's tweet was specifically designed to raise the value of the stock. That's against the law. It goes against a rule called Rule 10b-5, which prohibits any scheme to defraud. Now, on the other hand, you know, Musk infamously broke down multiple times in that emotional interview with the New York Times, claiming he's, you know, working 120-hour weeks to exhaustion. So it's possible that he could say, you know, it wasn't a deliberate scheme to defraud. I was simply overworked and sharing an idea with
the
public.
World.
With the world, exactly. But, you know, Tesla's already under investigation for production issues with its most recent car, the Model 3. So I think the reason why you saw the stock dropping, and who knows, it continue to drop much more for the rest of the week, is that there's a lot of uncertainty, A, about the SEC investigation, and B, about whether Elon Musk is even going to be the CEO of this company in a year's time.
The Model 3 is Tesla's mass market car that he has been pitching. Look, Derek, it's also August. A lot of people on vacation. Consumers may not be paying attention. Does that matter if shareholders are?
Yeah, you know, I think stock prices are interesting because a stock price is technically a bet on the future profitability or value of a company. And when you're thinking about the future of a company, you have to think about the fundamentals, right? What part of this story, whether it's Azalea Banks' Instagram messages or Elon Musk's tweets, what part of this story will still be germane in a year? Yeah. And I think there are two. One, Elon Musk needs some rest. And if he doesn't find some rest, he cannot be the CEO of all these companies. And then two, you know, as much as Elon needs to get some sleep, Tesla's factories need to wake up. Yeah. They're way behind schedule and they need to up their production. So those are the issues that I think investors are going to be most closely focused on for the next few weeks.
And why being at his house was like being in the film Get Out. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thank you.
Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Peter O'Dowd. It's Here and Now.